The Old Testament lesson is from Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land, then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father, we have heard wonderful things out of thy word. We praise you for revealing Christ by promise and shadow in these pages. Help us to understand these words for thy name's sake. Amen.
Our New Testament lesson this morning is from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 1 through chapter 4, verse 5. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women burdened with sin and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. As if Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified according to the faith. They will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as it was of those two men. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me in Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, be equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearance in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers who suit their own passions. And they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Let us pray. Our Father, we have heard wonderful things out of thy word. We praise you for revealing Christ as a fulfillment of the Old Testament and ask you to give us your spirit so that we may understand the fullness of your truth. Amen.
Well, by the grace of God, we reach yet another very important milestone in the life of our church. It's not often that a minister of word and sacrament is ordained and takes upon himself the mantle of this holy calling. Chris, Lord willing, this is a day you'll long remember. And it's a day that we'll long remember as well. And you'll get a chance to greet Reverend Coleman over in the courtyard during the reception that follows right after our morning service. This is a day of celebration because another man has been called and ordained to the service of the Lord. And yet, at the same time, given the nature of the task to which you've been called, this is a day of great solemnity. And so this morning we devote our time in God's Word to a consideration of the significance of the ordination to the office of minister of word and sacrament. Now the order for ordination very carefully sets forth most of the biblical data regarding the nature of the minister of the word sacrament, the minister of word and sacrament's calling, as well as our obligations to you as you begin a lifelong labor in the ministry of the word. So with all of that in mind, it's a good thing, I think, to address some of the responsibilities that a man takes upon himself when he is ordained. And so I'd like to direct my remarks first to Chris and then to you, the members of this church. Chris, you've now been ordained to the office of Minister of Word and Sacrament. And our consistory has extended to you a letter of call, which you accepted. Your call is, in one sense, very, very simple. It is set forth with great clarity by the Apostle Paul in his second letter to his young pastor friend Timothy. Words we've already heard this morning. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Now, as Paul expresses it, your job description is really rather simple. You are to preach the word. You are to correct and rebuke and encourage the people of God. This means that you must labor to rightly divide the word of God, and that you're careful when you teach and you preach about the deep truths of the Christian faith. Paul also tells us that you're to be patient with all those whom God has entrusted to your care. And these responsibilities collectively lie at the heart of your calling as a minister of word and sacrament. And although the job description is short and very straightforward, the tasks required of you are exceedingly difficult. And there are several dangers here of which you must be cognizant. For one thing, you are a sinner, and yet you will now handle sacred things on a continual basis. The danger you face is that these sacred things become mundane to you, and that you begin to take them for granted. A second danger is that you may begin to ignore the fact of human weakness, especially as you grow in confidence and experience. There's a reason why the Apostle Paul approached his duties with fear and trembling. And that explains why Paul states so emphatically that his own calling does not depend on human wisdom, nor on his own powers of persuasion. Paul knew that his efforts must be grounded in God's mercy, and he must trust in God's sovereign power. Now, there's no question the task to which you've been called exceeds all human ability to fulfill it. But don't let that overwhelm you. God has promised you His blessed Holy Spirit, and therefore you have every resource you will ever need to faithfully fulfill the duties of your office. And it's only when we truly realize how weak that we are that we're actually able to see our need for God's strength to enable us to fulfill these divinely appointed tasks. Now, as far as preaching of the Word goes, never forget that Jesus Christ has given to you the very words of life in the pages of Holy Scripture. Chris, it is your calling to stand before us as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are to deliver to us the same words that Jesus entrusted to His disciples and which they in turn have passed on to us through the pages of Holy Scripture. Through the means of preaching, which is foolishness to a Greek, a stumbling block to the Jew, and probably both to modern Americans, God Himself will be pleased to speak to us. In fact, says Paul, to those of us who are being saved, these words of life are the power of God through which the righteousness of God is revealed and through which the kingdom of heaven draws near. And that is why Paul's primary focus is on the message, not so much on the messenger. Now, that's precisely what we heard this morning in our Old Testament lesson, the words of Ezekiel 37. The prophet Ezekiel foretold of an age yet to come in which the Spirit of God would bring dead bones back to life. So let's hear those words yet again. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And He led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, You know. And then He said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then He said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as He commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. And then He said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. Now, of course, the prophet Ezekiel was speaking of the Messianic Age, the New Covenant era, off in the distant future when the gospel of Jesus Christ would go out to the ends of the earth. And so, Chris, your call to the ministry is in part a consequence of our Lord's fulfillment of this ancient prophecy. Every time you enter a pulpit, it is your solemn calling to preach the words of life to a room filled with dead bones. Now, I'm not talking about people who are tired or distracted because of the previous week's labor. I'm talking about real dead bones. Sinners who have no life in themselves and who, apart from the work of God's Spirit upon them, are completely and totally beyond your help. Chris, there's not one single thing you can do in your office as minister for any of us in your own strength. You cannot motivate us to truly love God. You cannot forgive us of our sins. You cannot fill our hearts with gratitude or give to us an abiding hope for the future. You cannot give us divine wisdom, and you cannot fix all of our problems. What you're called to do is to prophesy to those dead bones who sit under your preaching. And as you open God's Word, you are to say to those who assemble, "O dry bones, hear the Word of the Lord." It is through the Word of God that God's Spirit, not you, God's Spirit, will bring life where there's only been death. It is the power of God's Spirit working through the proclamation of the Word and through the administration of the sacraments. It's that that'll stir the hearts of God's people to love God as they should. It is God's Spirit who will comfort God's people with His promises. It is God's Spirit who assures us that our sins have been forgiven. It is God's Spirit who creates in our hearts a desire to live lives of gratitude before God and before the watching world. Chris, you cannot do any of these things in your own strength. Yet you are now God's messenger. You are called to preach God's Word because the Holy Spirit will do all of these things when God's Word is proclaimed to His people. Now, another part of your calling as defined by Paul is that you are to teach those entrusted to you. You've been trained as far as humanly possible to rightly divide the Word of life. Your life and doctrine have been thoroughly examined by our consistory, by our classes, and you've been found fully capable, humanly speaking, of the task that is before you. Chris, it's your duty to open God's Word, to teach us the way, the truth, and the life. Brother, show us what Scripture says about the meaning of life. Show us what Scripture says about the challenges of being a Christian in a pagan age. And as you preach God's Word, you must understand that many of those who listen to you mistakenly think that they know what their needs are. And when they want you to speak to those supposed needs, you must show them their true need as set forth in God's Word. Far too often, our own felt needs are simply an excuse to indulge the sinful nature, and that only encourages our preoccupation with ourselves, that sinful preoccupation with ourselves. And therefore, teach us from the Scripture what our true needs are. Tell us what God's solution to them is. Show us when we mistakenly trust in the flesh rather than the power of God. Teach us the mind of Christ when our judgment is clouded by sin and human frailty. Tell us what God expects of us, His people, so that in all we do, we might bring glory and honor to our Savior. Now, according to Paul, you are also called to rebuke us when we go astray. This is never easy. It's certainly the hardest part of the job. And what this means is you are to apply the Word that you preach to those who fail to heed its exhortations and its instructions and its commands. You must do this in love, but you must do it. Chris, when we're in sin, tell us plainly. It's part of your calling to find the straying sheep and lead them back to the safety of Christ's church. You're to gently restore those who fall into sin, but you are to fearlessly drive away any wolves who would dare enter into the midst of our church in sheep's clothing. And yes, it's your job to rebuke us should false doctrine ever become attractive. It is your solemn duty to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints, and week after week to point us to the truth of God's Word. But you're not only to preach and correct and rebuke, you're also to encourage us. So set before our eyes the glorious promises of the gospel, and remind us of the superabounding grace of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Tell us that our sins are forgiven by the blood of Christ and covered by His righteousness. Tell us that our Lord is coming again to raise the dead and judge the world and make all things new. Tell us, remind us that there's a coming day when Jesus Himself will wipe every tear from our eyes. And this doesn't depend upon us, but upon the doing and dying of our Savior. Chris, don't waste our time by telling us how to fix our problems or how to be happy and successful. But tell us that God is no longer angry with us because Jesus had made peace with God at the cross. And then we'll know true joy, if not happiness. Biblical prosperity, if not worldly success. And godly wisdom, if not the follies of men that too often pass for wisdom. That's how God's people are encouraged, through the preaching of the gospel. Chris, the elders of this church have been entrusted with the task of helping you in your office as minister of word and sacrament. And God has charged them with the task of watching both your life and your doctrine. Always be willing to submit to their exhortations and learn to seek their collective wisdom. Chris, you must be above reproach in your personal conduct. And you've already promised this morning to defend the three forms of unity in public and in private when you sign that form of subscription in our presence, because we believe those documents summarize the teaching of Scripture. As a minister of the gospel, you must wage war upon the three great enemies to Christ's church, and that's scandal, heresy, and schism. You must guard against those foes, and you must wage war upon them with everything in you because they bring so much damage to Christ's church. Always be diligent. Defend the faith. Preach the gospel. And that's you, the members of our church. In our New Testament lesson from 2 Timothy chapter 3, we read the following words of warning. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. We've just read Paul's description of the context in which our brother must labor as a minister of the gospel. This is a context in which we all live, in which we all labor as fellow servants of Jesus Christ in these last days. And since we know that people are lovers of themselves and lovers of money, and since they're going to be boastful and proud and abusive and have little respect for families and family structures, we shouldn't be surprised that churches would create false gospels in which truth is replaced by personal experience and Scripture is replaced by a public opinion poll. Nor should we be surprised that our churches would develop approaches to worship that seek to please the worshiper rather than to please God. Make no mistake about it, these are very perilous times. And when Chris comes and preaches to us, do not expect him to preach so as to tickle our ears. Do not expect our brother to lead a worship service designed to enhance our experience of God. Do not expect Chris to tell us what we want to hear. Like a prophet of old, it's Chris's job to preach against the spirit of the age. And if we ask him or expect him to do anything else, we're asking him to betray the very vows that he's taken before us this morning. Chris must tell us the truth in love. And when he does so, it's our obligation to receive it eagerly and gladly. Now, the old form for installation puts it this way. Receive your minister in the Lord with all joy. Hold him in all honor. Remember that through him God himself speaks to you. Receive the word which he, according to the Scripture, shall preach to you, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. This means that when Chris comes to us on the Lord's Day with an open Bible, he comes with the authority of Jesus himself. And so when Chris preaches the word or teaches us, or corrects us, or rebukes us, and when he encourages us, he does so as a minister sent by the Lord of the church, Jesus himself. And therefore, we must listen to him when he does so, even as we listen to Christ, who is Lord of His church. Now, according to the Apostle Paul, Chris is worthy of his hire. He's worthy of a double honor due him in his office as minister of word and sacrament. And it's our joyful obligation now to pray for Chris. We are to support him. And we are to understand when those times arise that he must put his family ahead of us. And while we expect him to labor diligently, we must give him the time to pray for us and the time to study, so that having the mind of Christ, he may rightly divide the word and fulfill his task as a minister of the gospel. Chris's life is going to be an open book. It comes with a calling. But we must respect his time and respect his privacy. And Chris, as we conclude, let's not forget the obvious. This is Christ's church. It's not mine, it's not Andrew's, it's not the elders, it's not yours, but it's Christ's. And we're all under His authority since He is the Lord of His church. We are His people, those whom He's purchased with His own blood. Our Lord is pleased to come and visit us with salvation on the Lord's Day through His Word and through the sacraments. And He invites us, repentant tax collectors and sinners, to come to this table and enjoy fellowship with Him. Thus, all that we do, Chris, as you minister to us and to the congregations we joyfully receive, Chris, as an under-shepherd of our souls, all that we do must be done to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. As the psalmist puts it in Psalm 100, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Chris is an under-shepherd, and we're all sheep. In God's pasture, which is Christ's church, the Lord Jesus Himself is the good shepherd. He's the one who laid down for us His sheep. And He's the one who even now is calling His sheep into the safety of the fold and driving away the wolves. That's our hope. That's our future. And that's why we call men to shepherd Christ's flock in the name of the Good Shepherd. And so, Chris, Reverend Coleman, on this most memorable and important day, I just simply leave you with these words from Paul to Timothy. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, by His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Chris, preach the word. Correct, rebuke, and encourage us. Fulfill your ministry. And never forget that the only way you can do so is in the power of the Holy Spirit. And to you, the members of Christ Reformed Church, I leave you with the following words of exhortation from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Beloved members of this church, our dear brothers and sisters in Christ, hear the word and receive it with joy when Chris preaches it, because Chris has been called and now ordained to bring to us the very words of life. This is truly a day of great joy and celebration. At the same time, it's a day of great solemnity. May Jesus Christ be glorified and honored in all that we have done this Lord's Day. Amen.